Good morning. How? Oh. Good morning. I'm sorry, it was sitting there spinning. Not sure if it was on. Good morning, everyone. It is Monday, bright and early Monday morning. I don't know if you feel that way. I sometimes do. But we are going to talk this morning about where is your treasure. I was reading in my Bible not too long ago, and I came across this scripture. And yes, I know this scripture, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, is one from the preceding verses we know is speaking about treasures like silver and gold and other things. I know that it was for Jesus was referring to earthly tangible things, because he talks about do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, like I say, he was talking about earthly things. But it just hit me on this day that I was reading it that sometimes we have other treasures. And one treasure that we have that we may not think about is ourselves. My heart has another treasure rather than external things, and it's this internal or this external self of me. My heart is terribly fond of me. If you think about it, your heart is terribly fond of you. Whether we like to admit it or not, we treasure ourselves. Jesus even referred to this when he stated later in Matthew 7:12, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you." Because he knows we want to be treated well. Now, we need to be treated justly and fairly, yes, but we like to be treated well. We like to receive the nice things. He even talked about it another time. We like to be called up to sit at the head of the table, you know? So in Matthew 22, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" This is verse 36 through 40. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord God, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Love your neighbor as yourself. And there's two commandments there. The first is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second is to love your neighbor. But he doesn't command you to love yourself because he knows you already do that. There's three things being left there. He knows that we love ourselves more than we can fathom. We have an insatiable need for validation, is one way you could look at how much you love yourself. We want to be heard. We want to be regarded and rewarded. We want others aware of our correct thought patterns and thought processes. We love to hear, "You're right. You're right. You are right." We love to hear that. We highly regard ourselves and our thinking patterns. If we can't, and think about it like this, this is how we know too, because if we can't voice those thoughts externally, we will have a conversation endlessly in our head in a variety of ways, in a variety of settings, so that we can further solidify our correctness and our correct way of thinking. We go over and over and over again in that conversation in our head to be right and to show that other person we're right and to show the people that are standing around that we are right. That conversation may never occur, but we spend, and if it does occur, it tend to occur very differently. But look how much time we spend having conversations in our head. I have. I've thought about many conversations, not just with other people, but in lots of various scenarios. If you only knew the amount of words that go through in this head. I talk all the time in my head. There's an incessant amount of talk that goes on with God. Yes, but there's often scenarios that all of us play out. And if you think about it, the same scenario has been played out of us being right and validating ourselves and justifying ourselves in TV shows and movies throughout generations. That is a common, very common theme, where someone puts them down, puts them in their place or whatever, you know, and I say puts them in their place, you know, they just talk and they don't have anything to come back with and they're stunned. And then the plot goes through and weaves, and at the end, that person that has been downplayed, put down, stands up and says something, and the people in the movie or in the TV show or the stage play are just happy and ecstatic for this person. But the TV audience, the viewing audience, is just as happy because that's resonating with them, that they got to stand up to that person and put them in their place. And so we tend to see that, like I say, that's probably worldwide and throughout many generations, where we watch that person get elevated again, typically through their verbal prowess. There's physical, yes, that's pretty prominent as well. But you know, the plot of someone that's just totally powerless is not a very popular theme. You know, just look at the ratings there. Art mimics life. We want to be in the winning position, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. You know, that's not what I'm trying to convey here, is that you do not need to stand up for yourself. You do not need to right a wrong, because many times that is the theme of that movie, is they're writing something that has been done that's wrong. That's not wrong in and of itself, but this is where it changes. When the predominant theme, when what you predominantly think about in your head is to get your point across, instead of compassion or healthy conflict resolution, then your self-righteous stance has become your God, because that's all you think about. And that's what you want in life, and that's what you focus on. That self-righteous stance has become your God. You have become your God. And at that very moment, you are in a losing battle. Because God shares his glory with no one. God shares his glory with no one. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, it says, "I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols." It's a losing battle because Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Again, this is someone who that's their primary goal and theme, instead of compassion and healthy conflict resolution. In James 4:6, it says, "But he gives a greater grace." Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When the Almighty is opposing you, you're in a losing battle right away. You're going to lose. You know, and our human fleshly nature doesn't even want to concede that. They think that it will think that it lost the battle because of a flaw, and it will focus on fixing that flaw. But by the very design of that, there's an endless amount of flaws that we have. Like I say, the conversation that we have in our head for that one flaw that we need to fix rarely plays out in that TV and movie show where he says all the perfect right things and boom, right then it's done and there's no more problems. You know, when we're in that self-righteous stance, because we're filling ourselves constantly with our mindset and I mean our thoughts, which make a self-centered mindset, then we have less time to focus on what God says in his word. And he talks about, you know, even the fruit of spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We don't even want to fathom the thought of losing. That's our mindset, instead of filling ourselves with his thoughts. Our imagination is running over and over and over again with those things. This is what I want to say, is that our imagination, that tool that we have to think on things and ponder things and scenarios for the future, and That's a tool of the Almighty. That's a tool that God uses to communicate with us. Okay, He does communicate with us through nature and His Word, yes. But there are times He speaks to us, and He speaks into our soul, and He speaks when what to do when we're in a situation, and how to make it right His way, a godly way, instead of a self-centered way. We take that imagination and we use it and commandeer the show, you know, the show that's going on in our head, where that same scenario is like a play on a stage or a theme or a script of a movie. But that is His vehicle. You know, keep that vehicle between you and God clean and pure. Okay? So one of the things I looked at is that, you know, when we have thought processes that are over and over again, or like I say, that's a, well, I mean, some, I'm don't want to mistake it here saying over and over again, because we may need to think different ways about something, but again, going back to that is your push, and we can't let go of that. It's almost like you have these closed fists, angry and wanting to be justified, instead of that open hand of compassion. To think about, so often we think hurting people hurt people. So why did something occur? You know, what's going on in their lives? I can only do that by God's power. That's a supernatural power. That's a power to have compassion that's beyond human nature. And I can only do that if I realize that I'm not going to lose myself in this process. Because if I just get put down and put down and put down, then that's not healthy either. That's not what I'm asking either. That's, again, the point is, well, in Philippians 2, 3:11, it's a great way to explain it. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests. So here, Paul is saying to the Philippians, he didn't say don't look after your own interests. He says, let each of you look not only, you're going to look into your own interest, but also into the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. You see that? He humbled himself when he could have been very right. He could have said, do you know who I am? Know what you're saying about me is not true. And he did, you know, say a few of those things. But basically, he kept humbling himself because he had a greater job to do. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, a humiliating way to die. Where people were sitting there saying, see, you're not who you said you are. They won that verbal battle right then. Ha, you can't even save yourself. Therefore, what God did is highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. God knows that being humble is difficult. That's why he said he would give you grace when you do it. God, like we read earlier, he desires that you look after your own interests, but he also wants us to move beyond ourselves, beyond our self being the object, the only object of our focus, to other people. For it is in giving that you receive. It is in giving that you die to self. You know, he and his kingdom runs and rules the whole show, and he knows what you're going through. He obviously went through it as well. If the king sees a humble heart that is willing to love and serve, he He will command the resources of heaven to be not only the supply in your open hands, but it is highly rewarded and regarded by Him, because the Father loves to give. In John 3:16, He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." So don't. The goal is not to be afraid to be losing to your mortal opponent. I don't want to lose the favor and blessing of God by stepping out of His will and getting into a self-centered stance. That is my only goal. That's when that ball tips over to the other side. In Matthew 5, 45 through 44 through 45, it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. Humbling yourself, you humble yourself, you elevate the Father and do His will, and you elevate others." You know, that is highly, when the Father sees that, He regards that behavior, He sees that behavior, and that behavior can be a new driving force in your life. You know, if you look back at when Jesus said, when they asked what is the greatest commandment, He said, "Love the Lord your God, your Father, with all your heart, soul, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself." There's three people that are being loved in there. I've heard it said, and that's a great word for the season. Joy is a big word for the season. But I've heard it said that joy stands for Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Jesus, others, yourself. And that's a good way to look at it. You know, we're loving the Father first and foremost. We're loving and treating other people the way we want to be treated and as ourselves. So that's, I don't know, I've always remembered that little acronym there of joy. He wants your needs to be taken care of, but He wants to be the one to supply your needs. He wants, because He can do it right. I guess that's another reason why. You know, so many times when we have that driving force to be right, we let our anger get in the way. We let not a spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control be the driving force. And then we end up behaving in ways that we never thought we would, you know, and then we're saddened and God's saddened. I heard someone say, you know, "Lord, help me to not bring shame to your name today," was their prayer. And I think that's something that is a really good prayer for the day, because our pride gets in the way so quick and so fast before we ever realize it. But God can supply your needs. God can maintain control of your needs and you and the universe as well, all at the same time without compromise. You know, God has this great system, though, where He often supplies our needs through our fellow man or our neighbor. So love your neighbors yourself. There should be this give and take relationship with our neighbor, because God often uses others to be in our lives so that they are a blessing to us and we are a blessing to them. How many of you, like, you know, when we have a need, I don't know about you, but I've not often had a raven bring me food. I've never had a raven bring me food. You know, how many of us eat manna from heaven every day? I remember when I was on bed rest for my last pregnancy, I was self-employed, so that meant my stream of income was gone for many months. And I remember my dad calling one time. He's like, "Vonda, are you looking for a raven?" And I said, "No, Dad." You know, I opened my checkbook and I write out my checks to pay my bills, and somehow the money's still there, you know? And it's a great testimony of God's faithfulness in many things, for my daughter's health, but also financially, that we would make it through that time. But you know, I never saw a raven. I didn't see a raven, but I did have friends and family that blessed us, and some financially. Some came over and cleaned our house and did things to us, for us. You know, that's how God's system works. God has created a plan of giving and receiving, reaping and sowing. God lifts people who lift others. That makes sense? And who bless others. The cycle is pretty simple. Open wide your hands and receive the blessings. clenched fists that are angry and want to get revenge, they're primed for a negative. But God wants those hands to be open to give and to be ready to receive. There's verses in the Bible that talk about open wide your hands. And I wrote a bunch of those one time because it was just kind of fascinating to me. Open wide your hands. Open wide your hands to help others. God may be sending you to that other person instead of a raven. Open wide those hands to help others. And then your Father, who sees it all, even what is done in secret, regards and rewards you, which is a desire of your heart, but he does it right. Open wide your hands to receive the blessings that comes to a humble servant of God, because that's going to be you when you're obedient. We are only a couple of weeks before Christmas. During this time, we tend to buy many things for ourselves, our families, sometimes almost to the point of excess. But let's think about how to love our neighbors as ourselves. I remember one time when we were going to church in Houston, a guy was calling for shoes for, I don't know what it was. And anyways, a homeless ministry or something. And I began to think about shoes that I could give. And he says right away, "Don't you think about pulling out those shoes in your closet that you wouldn't wear?" And I was like, "Oh, you know what I was thinking." Here I'm a college student, don't have a lot of excess of money, but that's exactly what I was thinking. But let's go back to where we started. Love your neighbor as yourself. Where your treasure is, where your heart will be also. Treasure others. I think that makes God smile in such a big way. He sees what you're doing. He sees that you're giving sacrificially because he loves to give. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. This is often called the season of giving. But giving needs to be a lifestyle, not a holiday or a season. God doesn't give once a year. He continuously gives. He sacrificially gives. He loves to give. Go and do the same. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treasure what God treasures. God treasures people. For where your heart is, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. There was a verse, not a verse, there was a saying in a book, and it was Contagious Christianity, and I can't remember the author right now. But he said, people matter to God. And because they matter to God, they better matter to me. Treasure what God treasures. God treasures people. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So go this week, this season, and for a lifestyle, and treasure people. Because, like I said, that makes God very, very happy. It makes him smile. It's being obedient to what we need to do. All right. Y'all have a good week, and I hope this blesses you and makes you think a little differently about where your treasure is and where your thoughts are. God wants to take care of your needs, but he also wants to be involved in your life to where he can work through you and you can be a godly vehicle for him in the lives of others. Have a great week, and I will see you next Monday. Bye-bye.